When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples, the ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grania. How are we?
I'm so excited because honestly, this, I think, was one of the... I've never had like a breaking news topical episode before, and I feel like that's what we've achieved in today's episode.
We really have. We've had a bit of a pinnacle here with this episode, because as you all know, if you're listening, you know, you've seen it written on the little text thing on your podcast. This is Will Smith and Jada we're doing, which, as you know, as a breakup was only announced in the last month, if that.
The ink is still wet on our fingers from reading about
that's
this.
Right.
It is a break. It is like we come to you with a breaking news podcast. We've never been more
That's
relevant.
What we do. We're meant to be a podcast that deals with history, but actually we're current. This is current news. And this was one of our favorite episodes to record. It's actually the last episode of the current series recorded. And what a way to go out. What a banger to end on.
We've got something amazing to look forward to now, and then you also have something amazing to look forward to for the next 2 weeks, because to finish the series, we've got our live episodes.
Our live episodes, they're coming out the next couple of weeks, so don't worry, we're not gone forever. Then you might hear us again maybe Christmas time. We'll have a little Christmas special perhaps. Keep your peepers peeled.
But only if you've been good this year.
Only if you've been good.
If you've been bad, they will not download onto your app. You know.
And either way, we'll be back with a brand spanking new series in the new year. So fret not, you've not got long to go without us. And in the meantime, you get incredible live episodes coming up. You get this incredible episode with our amazing guests. We just had such a great time recording this. Breaking news episode, first of many, I'm sure. It was a great time.
Get ready with the amazing Miranda Sawyer.
The way they were.
Hi, Miranda.
Hello.
Hi, Miranda. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, I am very excited.
Oh, so am I. I was literally in the shower this morning. I was like, I bet Miranda's got a good one. I was really like, I wonder who it's going to be. I'm so excited.
It took me a long time, as Grania knows.
So Miranda's original couple, and we can say this, a few months ago, she picked Stormzy and Maya Jama. And what did they inconsiderately do? They got back together.
They got back together again. When we did Ben and J-Lo, we got there just before they officially got back together again. So you got to be quick with these people, these couples, these celebrities, you know, they're always going to test you.
Exactly. I mean, I'm very happy with those couples getting back together. That's ideal. I mean, if Maya and Stormzy hadn't got back together, I would, you know. I mean, that would have been my plea. They needed to get back together. So I'm very happy they have.
The vibes were sent.
J-Lo and Ben, it's like perfect. I mean, you couldn't want anything more, could you, from that relationship?
I still side-eye J-Lo and Ben. Grania knows this. I think they're protesting too much. I'm just saying, keep an eye on those two, because I still think, I'm not sure it's a forever, ever, ever.
I don't think it is forever, ever, ever.
I think we could have them as a couple on the show again.
Yes, exactly.
And I look forward to it.
They could be like the first Russian doll podcast couple.
Yeah.
Where every time the episodes would have to get shorter and shorter.
This time was just a week, guys. They went to Disneyland and broke up on the way home. That was it.
Exactly. Perfect.
Miranda, we're a quite romantic podcast. Do you consider yourself romantic?
I consider myself not to be romantic. Although, I mean, what's weird is I think I'm romantic. I think I am a bit, but then I have been informed that I'm not. I mean, mostly because I don't really believe in all the traditional stuff. I don't care about Valentine's Day. If you don't buy me flowers, I really couldn't give two hoots. I hate romantic meals. Like, I mean, I couldn't think of anything worse than going for a romantic meal. It's just
What even is a romantic meal?
I mean, it's just horrible. It's like some idea where like the waiters never leave you alone. You know what I mean? It's like
I just think of lots of red roses like on the table. That makes it romantic. That's it.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was young. This is going to sound a bit weird, but bear in mind my age. We never went out for a meal. It was just like it wasn't a thing that anyone did. We just didn't go out for meals. It was a really massive deal if you went out for a meal. And if you went out for a meal, it was your birthday, and you put on your best outfit and you went to the local Italian, and the Italian waiters would always give me and my mum a rose in cellophane.
I know exactly the kind you mean, the one rose wrapped in plastic.
Rose in cellophane, and it was incredibly stressful. I think this is why I find like kind of posh meals really stressful, because we just didn't do it when I was young. And
childhood trauma come through.
Yeah, you never knew which kind of like fork to use or whatever. The whole thing was just incredibly stressful. So the idea of a posh romantic meal just brings me out in hives. I couldn't think of anything else. We did once go, me and my husband, he booked a nice meal. It was lovely. And I remember it was quite a posh place. And he said, oh, it's my wife's birthday. And so they brought out a little thing for pudding, you know, where they put a little, you know, like a nice cake with a
sparkler.
Yeah, but he's Northern Irish and they misunderstood his accent. And it said, happy birthday, Brenda.
That's brilliant.
It's Brenda's birthday. I can do that. I've just realised as I've said that, I was like, I think just about technically I can take the piss.
You can definitely do it. You can understand it. Yeah. So, I mean, all that kind of romantic stuff, I have, like, I can't bear it.
Mainly the meals. I feel like it's just the meals that get you down.
Yeah, it's just the meals.
It's just food. Everything else, like chocolates, she loves it. Heart-shaped balloons all day. It's just not the food. Anything but the food.
Yeah, don't take me out for a posh meal. It's really stressful.
But you consider yourself a romantic, though.
Yeah, I do, because I think that, I mean, this is like in a massive general sense. You know, I generally think if you're left-wing, you're quite romantic. And I genuinely think that, you know, that people are mostly quite nice and everything could be better. And I believe in the power of music and love and exciting times. So all those kind of things, you know, I believe. I think that's romantic.
If you think left-wing people tend to be romantic, is that why the Labour Party symbol is a red rose?
It is. Yes, exactly that. I mean, obviously it brings me out in hives. Wrapped in cellophane, wafted at me.
Well, your couple, I mean, everybody will have opinions on your couple.
Ooh,
but the
okay.
one thing we can all agree on is they got together in the year of 1995.
Okay.
So let us set the scene. It's the year Playboy finally becomes legal to sell in Ireland.
Oh my God. Jesus. Bums. We need a podcast about that. Oh my God.
OJ Simpson is acquitted. Mm-hmm. And Toy Story takes us to infinity and beyond. But that's not all that happened. Because things went wild, wild, wild when the red tables were turned on this Fresh Prince.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Jada and Will.
Yeah.
Jada and Will. The minute they announced that they've been technically separated, I was like, is anyone going to have the balls to just immediately do them? And yes, Miranda Sawyer did. Amazing. This is fresh.
Yeah.
But actually not that fresh. Oh my God, you were right. Everyone has opinions. Jeez Louise. This is a big one.
Miranda, what is it about this couple that you find so interesting?
Like, let's just, if you do them kind of separately, they're really interesting anyway, because Will Smith just is interesting. He's so charismatic. He smashed so many kind of barriers to become a leading man. If you think about the kind of Fresh Prince, if you like, my kids are like 30, God, I can't remember how old they are, 13 and 11, and they, when they saw Fresh Prince, like, because there's loads of reruns, They loved it. They absolutely love, every kid loves that show. I love that show. You show it to anyone, they just really love it. He's madly charismatic. He's so good. He's absolutely brilliant. Plus, you just think of him as a nice guy. There is no side to him that you think this guy is dark. And then there's Jada, who was kind of much lower profile, but you were aware of her because of The Matrix and because she was around, and she was just kind of around, wasn't she? The weird thing about her is you feel completely differently. So she always seemed very hard. She's just, I mean, I think that's partly how she looks, but kind of how she presented herself. So it was quite, it always felt like quite an odd coupling, I suppose, really, because you felt like he was really warm and friendly and she was like a tough nut. Fine, no problem about it. But as their relationship kind of went on, they had those two, like two kind of like fantastic kids, I have to say. I've got a soft spot for their kids.
Same. So I'm so glad you said that. Everyone makes fun of their kids, but I'm like, I'm down for Willow and Jane. I love them both.
Yeah, very much so. I really love them.
Rad kids.
Yeah, they're completely brilliant. And so I kind of, that makes me like them more, as in Will and Jada. Although it's so funny that they call their kids Jaden and Willow.
Yeah, Jaden and Willow. It is really embarrassing.
God, that is so embarrassing. What? The way that their relationship has kind of dissolved in public, so publicly,
by their own choice, publicly.
Well, yeah, by their choice, and also partly it's like they want to have. Well, I think maybe Jada wants to have a control of the narrative, so she does the red table. She talks about her feelings as though she's incredibly on top of everything, but it's a visual medium, and visual mediums reveal things that you can never hide. And there's a particular moment when she does a red table talk with Will, where they've kind of been separated, and she's talking about what she calls her entanglement with a younger man. Mm-hmm. And he looks absolutely devastated throughout, although he's saying all the right things, and she looks tough nut throughout. Mm. And that kind of established who they are in our eyes. And then the slap, which is just amazing.
I know.
I mean, on so many levels, like you can analyze it in an incredibly serious way. It's like it's both personal, and because everybody involved in that situation was Black, it's also political because it's a completely kind of white arena. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the most interesting personal and political moments, and like spontaneous moments that you never see. Telly is these days incredibly managed. Unless it's reality television, you never see those moments. You used to see them a bit more because they used to have kind of like, I don't know, late night telly where Tracy Emin would be drunk or something like that. You never see them. That doesn't happen. That kind of actual emotion bursting out of your telly screen never ever happens, apart from in reality shows. And so to see something like that, and then they carry on and they still live their lives and they're still incredibly important and famous, it's amazing. They are kind of amazing because you dump so much on top of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not just a couple, are they? You just put so many things on top of them at all times. You think you know absolutely what it is. And I have read her book.
Have you? Oh my gosh, she came prepared. We love a guest who prepares. We love it.
I've made notes homework, and everything.
She made, no, my goodness, Grania, you've met your match.
Brenda, what did you make of, because I read the book in prep too. I'm fascinated. What did you make of it?
I mean, she's had a really interesting life. There's no doubt about it. Like, she's done some stuff that she's from an incredibly interesting and difficult background. You know, there's an entire section where she was actually dealing drugs. You know, that's not normally in most celebrities. But if you just take it on face value, it's still infused with this really difficult element where she is really hard to like. She's just really hard to like. So she goes through all this stuff, but because she constantly brings it back to herself, I mean, you know, celebrities do that, but there's not much humility about it. The things that are funny aren't that funny. She's constantly, when she describes kind of, you know, essentially kind of rows, she's like, oh, well, it's just because I was feeling really low in self-worth. And you think, yeah, no, you were quite horrible.
Yeah, every now and then you can't just be like, I was being a bit of a dick that day. You haven't got to always explain it away with, well, that was back to my insecurities and that's how I express myself sometimes. And so, ergo, nothing's ever actually my fault at all.
Yes, exactly.
That's how it comes out like that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of, like, you know, spiritual learning, which, like, I have to say, I flicked through. But
you skipped it.
Oh, God. I mean, please. And at the end of every chapter, there's a bit where you as a reader are invited to look at your own life.
Oh, shut up, mate.
As well. I was like, no. But all the kind of lessons that seem to be, I mean, you know, I'm aware that they have a strange relationship simply because they're massively famous, right? That just makes everything weird. But I think that to be married to somebody for a certain amount of time, you know, a good length of time with kids, if you don't learn how to be married with somebody, it just goes to shit. So that's kind of, that's what I mean about not being romantic. I mean, you know, there's an element of learning how to understand somebody and see all their faults, see all your own faults, and work out how you can kind of mingle that together so that you have a good life together. And she just doesn't seem to be able to do that. She literally only sees it from her point of view. And even as she's kind of saying, oh, I'm only seeing it from my point of view, and obviously Will is on his own path, you think, mate, well, what did you think, Grainne?
I found her very humorless and very earnest.
She's always been very humorless.
And I felt like everything was like she had just come out of a therapy session. So she was explaining everything in real therapy speak. And I found it quite, it started to get quite tedious. And I think Will Smith does it as well to a lesser extent. Yeah. It can't be like, oh, listen, we were married for a long while, but then, you know, the spark went out of our relationship and we started seeing other people. It was, well, we discovered we're on separate journeys and his reality is not necessarily my reality. And you're just like, oh my God.
Can I ask, did either of you read Will's book?
I've not read it, but I listened to very recently.
No one cared about Will's book.
I'm not bothered. Because we love Will. That's the problem. That's a prejudice, you know. And speaking is a...
Like, yeah, I feel,
you
know, like I'm gonna, normally, I feel like I'm going like to jump ahead and say, I think I know who wins the breakup.
But he's done a podcast recently that I listened to. Yeah. And it's about... it's about the year 1988 in hip hop, right? And he's presenting it, and it's because it's when he kind of came out as the Fresh Prince.
It's been advertised heavily.
It's really
every
good.
Podcast is advertising it.
It is really good. I really recommend it. And he is great in it. I can't tell you, honestly, he's great. Mm. He talks to Run DMC, he talks to Chuck D, he talks to all these people, and he's incredibly charming and funny, and obviously he's kind of slightly rehabilitating himself after the slap.
Yeah,
I did think, oh my God, he's so charismatic. Like, I mean, I do feel for her, because who on earth can be as charismatic as Will Smith? Nobody in the world.
Do you not find it? I realize we have to get to the history, Grainne. I realize that, but just very quickly, do you not find some element of Will Smith, and I might bring this up later as we go on, somewhat? Like, not even somewhat, quite a lot inauthentic. There's something kind of performative about his charm. I don't, and his charisma that's always, not always actually, but in the last sort of 10, 15 years, it's kind of started to rub me the wrong way a bit. There's something a bit, he's trying, started to think, hey, I'm just a normal guy. Hey guys, how's it going? What's up? Yeah, I'm me. It's a bit like, I don't know. There's something I don't quite buy about it. It felt a lot more natural in the sort of 90s, 2000s. It feels a lot more manufactured now.
Yeah, it feels like it maybe not so age appropriate, does it? Because you're still kind of like, hey, we're all happy and we're kind of happy to be there. There's a lot in Jada's book about how what he really likes is getting loads of people together and having massive parties. And, you know, I do like, and she has to organize it, which must be really annoying.
That's annoying.
But he also does that thing, which, I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing that people say red flags, but I also think, you know, nobody's ever asked me to do this, where he just like, he turns up, he decides he likes her, and he just constantly whisks her away to like amazing situation. You know, he hires a private jet, you know, she's working and there's loads of kind of flowers, you know, those kind of like really extravagant
grand gestures,
which I would, I mean, personally would give me the heebies. That's just because I am not romantic.
Too
but like, it's
roses.
Also in inverted commas, that's what people say, oh, that's a red flag, because it's not real. None of it is real. Yeah. You have these massive parties, you sweep everybody away, and it's like a Disneyfied idea of what romance is. So how you find yourself in as a couple in that, I don't really know. I don't know how you would ever do that, actually.
Well, I know who might have some clue. They're star signs. They're star signs. So we have to get the signs involved. Will, September 25th, he's a Libra. Jada, September 18th, she is Virgo. So, Miranda, just from their star signs, what percentage do you think this match ever had of working?
I'd say quite low, because Virgo's quite uptight, aren't they? And Libra's all flighty. I'd say 40.
40.
My God, Miranda really knows her astrology self. I'm impressed.
I'm a woman. Every woman knows this stuff. It's just like in a DNA, isn't it? It's like you learn it at like age 13.
Even through doing this podcast, I still don't, aside from all Scorpios are evil. Sorry, Camille, I love you.
I like Scorpios, man.
So do I. They're fun, but they are evil. But I like evil. It can be fun. Anyways, I think just, I don't like the idea that they're birthdays. I think when you have birthdays 2 weeks apart from each other, either you can make that really fun. I've had that in a relationship and it would work, but it can also be a real bad sign. Mm. So I'm going to go even lower and make it like 11%. Screw these guys having any chance.
Well, I can tell you, according to their astrological charts, Virgo and Libra can form a very satisfying intellectual bond for as long as they respect each other's feelings. They could have a deep problem with emotional understanding, though, and the thing they will find the most difficult to reconcile is their fragile egos.
Oh my God, that's so accurate. I started to believe in horoscopes again.
Virgo, Jada, is willing to please and will easily take over the responsibilities and decisions that Libra needs to take on. This will lead to a feeling of inferiority in Libra and the loss of respect towards their Virgo Jada partner. If the issue is left unresolved, their relationship might end because of disrespect they were both unaware of at the beginning.
That's not far off what seems to be the reality, yeah.
Chance of working out, 30%.
Right in the middle. We were close. We knew it's always in the stars, guys.
Well, just to recap, and if you've listened this far without knowing who we're talking about, Will Smith, actor and Grammy Award-winning rapper, best known for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Jada, actor and host. She was in the Matrix films. And
actor and host, Grania. That's a read. Actor and host.
So just for their emotional CV before they met each other, Jade, as we mentioned, very difficult childhood. Her mother struggled with addiction and her dad was mainly absent in her life. She had an intense teenage friendship with Tupac Shakur, though it was never romantic. They once made a karaoke video of both of them miming along to the video of Parents Don't Understand.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, her future husband, Will Smith. Yeah. Right. Will, he grew up sort of a working class background. His dad was really abusive to his mother. He had a very difficult childhood and he had a very complicated lifelong relationship with his dad. They meet for the first time when Jada is auditioning for the role of Will Smith's girlfriend on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She's not interested in Will and their only interaction is they both say, "What's up?" to each other.
It was the 90s, guys. That's how we rolled.
She did, however, and I didn't know this, before going out with Will, she went on a date with Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh, nice. They would have been a cute little couple, two little shorties. Yeah. I liked that.
So Will said that he had a crush on Jada after seeing her in A Different World, the sitcom she was starring in.
Great
show. He said that when he saw her on screen, he immediately knew that if they got together, the relationship would be, and I'm quoting directly from Will, exponential.
I don't think he knows what that means. I think he meant exceptional. I honestly think he meant exceptional and no one bothered to correct him.
He said this at the red table with Jada and his mother-in-law and Willow. And he kept saying...
He does not know what it means.
I just knew if we got together, it would be exponential.
I mean, I'm trying to think of it like philosophy, like it would grow to be bigger than itself or something. I'm trying to think.
The idea is if you say exponential, it just makes you think, okay, there's two of them now and then there's four and then there's eight.
I know. Did he mean that the family would grow? I'm trying to give him poetic license here, but I'm struggling, Will. I'm struggling.
He also said, "I knew there was something in our energy that would be magic."
Okay, well.
So then Alfonso says, "Oh, I went on a date with her." So Will and Alfonso go to a taping of A Different World to try and meet Jada.
Okay.
But while he's there, he meets Cherie Zampino, who goes on to become his first wife.
Right.
So next time Jada and Will meet, they're in a department store and Jada's mother goes, "Oh, he's nice. You should go out with somebody nice like him." And Jada's like, "Nah, he's too cute. He's too like happy." And she thought he was a bit of a dork. So she's not interested in him at all because she thinks he's too cheerful, not deep and complex enough. Then Jada, she's now quite successful. She's in menace to society. She's in a different world. So her career is going really well. But then she suffers sort of an emotional breakdown. She goes on Prozac. She's feeling really vulnerable. She says she's going to quit Hollywood and buy a farm in Baltimore. It's around this period that she bumps into Will again. But now she sees a different side to him. And Amrad, I don't know if you remember this in the memoir. So she uses as an example of how deep Will is.
Oh God, this is just a nightmare.
The glass. What? As an example of how deep Will is, she said that they're having a chat and Will was talking about how perception is, you know, is your reality is like your perception of reality. It's real Scientology coded speech. And he said, for example, this glass of water, it's to my right.
Oh God. Please just stop, Grania, stop. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. Oh my God, I don't know if I can handle this. Okay, this is the man who doesn't know what the word exponential means. I don't need to tell him about what a glass in perception is.
So yeah, it blows her mind though, doesn't it?
It blows her mind. She's like, who is this?
Oh my God. But it's on the right for you, but it's on the left. What? Now? Did he show her a mirror next and explain that to her?
So these are vibing. These guys are vibing. They're vibing so much. That he returns to his wife because he's a married man at this now. He's got a kid. He goes back to his wife and he cannot hide from himself how he feels about Jada. He said he went to a restaurant with his wife and was so overwhelmed by his feelings for Jada that he went into the toilets to cry.
Okay.
See, already you feel sympathy for Will. I mean, a little bit, because he's crying. Jada isn't crying.
Poor Jada. I'm going to try to back
up
poor
honestly,
Jada.
I know, honestly. There is an element where I feel sorry for her, because he cannot win. Yeah.
So he's married. During this time, Jada is proposed to by Tupac while he's in prison. She says no. It's a friendship. Then, luckily for Will and Jada and us all as a culture, Cherie, Will's wife, files for divorce.
Okay.
And Will says on the day of signing divorce papers, he like left his solicitor's office, he got into his car and he immediately rings Jada up. Which I think is a clue of why his wife wanted that divorce.
Yeah.
He rings her up and says, Will says to Jada, you seeing anyone? She says she paused and said no. And Will replied, good, you're seeing me now.
I remember reading that line. It's very Will Smith at that time.
Yeah, it's not sexy, is it? I mean, you know, I do get that some people find that kind of thing sexy. I'd think, oh, knob off.
It's funny you mention that, Miranda, because I think that is another thing with Will Smith. And I've long thought this. There's something like asexual about Will Smith. I don't know what it is. He's not someone that he's an undeniably really good looking, charismatic, funny, smart, blah, blah, blah guy. But there's not a sex appeal there. There's something kind of, asexual. I can't imagine. I don't know what it is, but does anyone else?
Yeah, he seems
sense?
Kind of like your friend.
Maybe that's where the inauthenticity, especially about this relationship, comes in. There's an element of, I don't know if I buy it, that he's really like down to like shagging anymore. I don't know. Yeah. There's something missing there. There's something there that's like, there's almost like an inhuman.
But then it also might be that when he's on the TV and when he's in films, bear in mind the era that he's doing it. And I've spoken to black male actors about this kind of thing, that sometimes you feel as a black man that you can't really access or show your sexuality because it's a bit scary. So you, in order to be successful, you tamper that down and you just present yourself as a really friendly, funny guy who's a bit like, you know, street, but not scary, isn't going to mug you and isn't going to try and shag your women. So there is like, there's an element of, I think, you know, we don't know. I imagine, you know, like most people, Will Smith likes shagging, you know, I mean, he will.
He likes to shag.
But there's an element where you have to, as somebody who wants to be successful as a young black man, you have to tamper that down and just be the nice guy, or it's going to be hard for you to succeed. And I wonder about that sometimes.
Well, I will say Denzel somehow managed it. Anyways, moving on.
But then you don't necessarily think that Denzel is nice, do you?
Speak for yourself. I do. You can sweet talk me anywhere.
If Denzel Washington rang me up and said, "You see me now," that would be the end of my marriage.
Yeah.
I would be, and goodbye.
It would seem authentic.
Yeah.
So Will and Jada have both fallen in love with each other, hook, line and sinker. So remember, Will has just come out of a marriage. His son from his first wife is about a year old. He's really, really young. Jada has just had a nervous breakdown and was just on the, like, so close to just giving up her acting career and moving to a farm in Baltimore. But now everything's fine. She's going out with Will. So she says she stops taking Prozac and stopped going to therapy. Because she's like, everything's fine. There are a few problems early on in the relationship, though, which I feel so bad. Considering what we've been saying about Jada so far, she shares this in her book. So she's quite competitive and she can be quite aggressive. And apparently one time early in the relationship, she was playing Pictionary with Will and his friends. And she told Will to shut the fuck up. And he was like, I can't handle that. You cannot. Because he had quite, like, his childhood was so difficult.
Okay.
He found it was too much. And he took her aside and he was like, I am breaking up with you. If you swear at me, we cannot, this is not
We're
working.
Done.
We are
okay.
done. And she thought he was joking. And he was like, I am, like, this isn't happening. And they claimed after that incident, they never swore or shouted at each other ever again.
What?
And they did, they said, what? We did communication courses so that we wouldn't need.
Oh, God. There's an element to this. I know I'm jumping ahead a bit, but there's an element to their whole relationship with all the therapy talk. And also, I'm pro therapy. I'm not trying to be one of those kind of, oh, therapy is useless. No, therapy is fucking wonderful. We should all be doing it. It's great. I'm not against any of that. Look inwards, fix yourself, etc. I agree. But I feel like their whole relationship, like, you kind of want to take them both aside and be like, guys, it is meant to be fun, you know? It's not meant to be this much work. Y'all are meant to be kind of kicking it and having a good time and just hanging out and doing fun things. Like, it's not meant to be a chore. And it just feels like the way they talk about their relationship is how we can grow together and how I can find him and how we can understand. It's like, maybe y'all just don't get along and you should just not be together. It shouldn't be that much work. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah, it's like lessons all the time.
Yeah, God, it's like going to school.
Yeah.
The minute you start thinking of it as the first thing you think of is how hard it is and the work involved, I think that's a sign that maybe this isn't that much fun anymore. It's just meant to be a good time in the end, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not saying in an argument, but if you can't swear at your husband or partner, I mean, really.
That's wild to me.
Do. I mean, I'm aware that, you know, Americans quite often don't like swearing as much as British and Irish people do. But I do think, come on, surely. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then another sort of early days argument. They go away for Thanksgiving. Jada is annoyed because Will is on the phone chatting to his ex-wife's mother. She says, "Why are you talking to your ex-wife's mother?" And he was like, "That's my son's grandmother."
Yeah.
So he gets really annoyed with her and says she needs to grow up. She panics. She's like, how do I sort of win his love back? So she climbs on the roof of their hotel, shouts, "I love you, Will," and jumps into the swimming pool.
Oh, is that a work? Basically, what he was doing, wasn't he, Granny? He was ignoring her because she'd I mean, you know, she behaved like a dick. He said, I'm literally talking to my son's family, like it's Thanksgiving. What are you talking about? And so, and then he goes and kind of sits out the front on a kind of patio. I don't think they use the word patio, but I imagine a patio. And sits there. She comes out and he's ignoring her because he's really cross. And I imagine he doesn't want to swear at her. So he's really.
But that is also childish given the silent treatment thing. So neither of them are looking
at
it.
But I do think sometimes in that situation where you're like, okay, it's all going to kick off unless I just shut up for a bit.
Yeah. So I'm going
for a bit. And she cannot handle this. She can't handle the lack of attention or the lack of whatever she wants. So she goes up and jumps off the roof. I mean.
I'm going to have to try that. I can't wait for my boyfriend and I to get into a fight next so I can jump off the roof to get his attention into a pool. I mean, I bet it worked. I bet he got jumped to attention.
So very early into the relationship, they get pregnant. And there's a lot of pressure from her family, from her mother and from Will to get married. Jada hates the idea of getting married, is really anxious about it. She even buys herself her own engagement ring to try and get excited about the idea of getting married.
Wait, what?
She buys herself her own.
Because otherwise you really might have bought one that she didn't like. Just go out and get the one you like.
Did she tell him or did she just turn up one day with... That's just a really weird excuse for buying yourself a diamond. Just say, I bought myself a diamond because I wanted to.
So this is, and I think it's quite interesting, so this, both of their views of marriage. So she said about getting married, I was so upset that I had to have a wedding. I was so pissed. I went crying down the freaking aisle getting married.
Oh my God. I guess you can pass that off as like, I'm so moved by the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can be moved by the moment and then pass it off as like, I was really angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Will, he had this idea that a man can only achieve his potential if he's doing it for a woman. So he was like, in order for me to fulfill my potential, I have to have a reason to push myself even further. So I need to get married to succeed.
That's completely mad.
They really are. They're wacky. They're a wacky pair.
So funny. And at no point is love mentioned at all. I mean, I get the fact they're like, okay, she got pregnant. And, you know, the history of relationships is littered with people who get pregnant and then think, oh, God, we better get married. You know, that's just a kind of conventional thing that gets put onto relationships. I understand that. But their justifications are just hilarious. She doesn't want to get married and he's only doing it because it's going to make him more successful. I mean, God.
That's such a good point you mentioned that, because actually we've now been talking for some time now and I don't get the impression we've heard from anything that Grania has spoken about, they've said about each other, about like, why they actually loved each other. There hasn't been, I don't get the feeling that he's like, oh yeah, she was just the most amazing person I've ever met, or her being like, I felt so safe with him and just the way he spoke to me. There's nothing about like what, it was just like you said, there was like a business proposition almost in a weird way.
And I think like, that's why there was always those rumors, wasn't there, which I actually don't think are true, that he wasn't straight and she was there to kind of provide a beard for him. And I don't think that's true. But I do think there's something about that that people sense that there's something a bit transactional about what that relationship is. So I don't know whether it's because she's really good at organisation, she's maybe a little, inverted commas, a little bit more street than him and gave him some kind of street cred. And then he gave her obviously everything that Will Smith can give to a relationship, plus they have kids. So it's that kind of feeling sometimes that you're right. It doesn't feel like a laugh. It doesn't feel like a love match. It feels like a bit... arrangement, and that's what seems weird about it.
Well, I actually think the gay rumors are kind of an easy way out to kind of explain it away. Like, oh, he's gay, she's his beard, easy, dumb. But I think what you're saying is more where I am at, where I think it's more interesting than that. It's more nuanced. It's more bizarre, to be honest.
Well, so you've hinted that maybe they wouldn't be the funnest couple to spend time with. Why not investigate that? So Miranda, what I'd like you to do is imagine your phone's going, oh no, but you're recording a podcast. This is embarrassing. It's Will and Jada from, let's say, 1999. It's 1999.
That's a good time. It's a good time.
Will and Jada, they're in town for the night and they've invited you along. What do you imagine a night out with this pair being like?
Okay. Well, you know what? Well, I imagine it wouldn't just be them. There'd be loads of other people. That's the main thing. They're playing with a posse of like assistants and other mates that want are there to bring the vibe.
Look at Miranda going 90s with a posse.
Yeah, we go to the Met Bar. And I imagine, yeah, there just definitely would be lots and lots of people. You wouldn't just get them by themselves. Mm. And then I imagine we'd have to go for some awful meal. And then what I would really like to do is go somewhere where they would dance, because there was an idea that she was good at dancing, you know, and he's the Fresh Prince. And I just would like to go, I'd like to go somewhere where it's a bit of a laugh, because I hope that their performative instincts, especially Will Smith's, like, okay, we're in a nightclub. They all know I'm Will Smith. I'm going to have a really good time on the dance floor. Just be hilarious. I'd literally like a kind of crump off. Do you know what I mean? That would be something like that. I think it would be a laugh, but you just have to deal with all the other people that came too.
Yeah, like I'd say loads of cousins and loads of cousins. I think it would be like an Irish family wedding all the time.
Yeah. And do you think that Jaden might get to a point where she'd had a little, because there's hints in the book, isn't there, that if she has a bit too much to drink, she gets a bit stroppy. So then could get even more Irish wedding-y. We'd have like loads of like really brilliant dancing. And then by the end, she'd be in the middle, chucking a glass going, well, I told you, and like having a massive row. This is going to be excellent.
I will say one thing you don't have to worry about, Miranda, is that one thing I always know about Jada is I remember reading an interview with her about food and how she doesn't enjoy food. To her, food is purely fuel, which always, the minute I read that, I was like, I don't think I'd get along with you very well. That's really weird. But she just doesn't, food is just fuel for your body to achieve whatever you want to achieve. So you would not have to worry about a meal. So you'd be on a great path with her. There'd be no meal involved.
Yeah, she's getting drunk. Maybe me and Will could have a burger. And then we do our crumping and then have a big row.
Do you think the night would end in a fight like that? Do you think if they're not performing for other people, for the crowd, for their entourage, if it's just them, it's going to be them kind of talking quite earnestly and seriously / arguing about their feelings?
Yeah, we might end up in that. Do you remember that lift scene with Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, do we remember, Miranda?
That question was
an insult. Do we remember?
Never forget. I'm hoping for that. That's how we refer to that.
Never forget.
Yes.
Never forget. We could get some lift action, couldn't we? That would be great. And I would just be witness to it. Obviously, I wouldn't be getting involved, and I'd just be really excited in the corner.
You could be Beyonce in this.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd just be stood there watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I agree with your imagination of what would be happening for a night out with Will. Even though in 1999 was still kind of, they did an interview with Oprah around 1999. I remember watching that quite vividly. And it's when they're sort of announcing, here we are, we're a couple, we're going to get married. And I remember Oprah saying to Jada, how do you know Will is the one? And Jada saying, oh God, Oprah, if it's not him, I have to call Ellen up. And that was her joke. Like, if it's not him, I must be gay or something. Which in hindsight, being the rumors about Will Smith, was always a really funny thing for her to have said.
They are a funny couple. That's why they're so fascinating. I mean, you know, everybody's a funny couple fundamentally, aren't they? But like, they really are odd, I think.
Well, so we're getting to the montage section of the podcast.
Sure.
Where I'm just going to, so 98, Jaden is born. 2000, Willow is born. Everything is going, it seems, quite well in the relationship until 2011, when Jada turns 40. Big problems. They have to release a statement denying rumors that Jada was seeing her co-star, Mark Anthony, at that time married to Jennifer Lopez. Jada tries to get Will to talk about their feelings, and he says, let's just focus on careers. We can talk about our feelings later. Bit of a red flag. Jada is at the height of both their success, but she says she was really unhappy. He built this huge big house, and she kept saying, you built this for yourself, you didn't build this for us. She says she feels really bad, that she's so miserable, but she's ungrateful. She feels crazy for not being happy. She's starting to make sacrifices in her career to look after the children. She has to turn down an opportunity for her band to open for Guns N' Roses so that Will can concentrate on shooting The Pursuit of Happiness and not look after his son.
Can we talk about her band for a little bit? I'm aware we're in montage.
Yeah, I need to kind of back up and pause about that sentence you just said. She had to turn down as if she was asked, like Axel was on the phone. Come on, Jada, please.
She was genuine. This is a bit I actually believe. She forms a metal band, right? And there's this hilarious bit in the book where I thought, did she really write this? I've got it. Where is it? She's talking about like Ozzy Osbourne and how she used to listen to him when she was young. I didn't believe this at all. And she said, Ozzy was hauntingly compelling. I mean, I'm not being funny about it, but like, you know, really, Ozzy Osbourne was never hauntingly compelling.
He was never hauntingly compelling. My partner is a very, very big Black Sabbath fan. I'm inundated with a lot of Ozzy stuff. Yeah. There's nothing haunting about that guy.
But she does. She forms this metal band, right? And she supports Ozzy Osbourne. Like, Sharon Osbourne goes to see her at the Viper Rooms and goes, yeah, you can support him. So, like, I mean, there is an element that I kind of think, yes, fine. That, you know, it's just a funny part of the book where I thought, God, she was in a metal band. She really has kind of tried to kind of be artistic, hasn't she? I mean, I think she then switched it to her kids, but she really has kind of tried. She's put herself out there.
And in her defense, if she was the one raising the kids, mainly, the kids turned out wonderful. So
yeah, I love them.
That worked.
I love those kids.
My favorite line in her memoir is when she said, at the age of 6, while Willow was studying Chinese and music, she announced that she was going to be a singer.
They were over somewhere because they homeschooled, didn't they? And they were over, like, it was when they were filming The Karate Kid. So, like, she was learning Mandarin. Why would you not be? Poor kid.
It's great.
So, everything sort of comes to a head around Jada's 40th birthday party. So, Will has spent 3 years planning this huge party. He commissioned a documentary.
I remember that this.
Chronicled her life and traced her family's lineage back to slavery, where he tracked down a descendant of the white family who once owned Jada's ancestors. Then he found footage of voice messages from her beloved grandmother, who had passed away, that Jada herself hadn't even heard. He included this in this documentary. Bearing in mind, Jada has explicitly told him she is suicidally depressed. And he presents this big shindig. Mary J. Blige performs. And Jada is just sat there, just barely hanging on. And so there's a huge row that evening where she says, this is too much, I can't handle this. And Will is saying, but I did this for you. And Jada says, you did this for yourself.
Famously, the famous, that was the biggest display of ego I've ever seen, she said. I've been waiting for this story because from the second I heard it, and I know I'm not meant to be, I'm trying to be team Jada, but I was team Will the second I heard this. I thought what he did was really incredible. Someone did that for me, I'd be so touched. I'd be like, oh my God, that's fucking incredible.
It's weird.
And I thought
her
just going, fuck you, it's ego. I was like, oh my God, it took him years. I thought she was really ungrateful. Am I wrong?
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's a bit of both, is what I think. So yeah, it's that element, like, you know, when you see those really awful public proposals.
Oh my god,
where they're filmed and like the woman is just
flash mob.
Oh my God. I mean, they just, that's when I think I'm not romantic, all that. They can fuck away off. Honestly, they are just shit, right? Terrible, terrible things, the way you're forcing somebody to say yes in that situation. So there is an element where you think, okay, he's slightly forcing her to have a great time on her 40th. And if you're somebody who doesn't like surprises or whatever, that can be difficult. But I think she knew it was going to happen. And so you can see it kind of from her point of view a bit. Mm. But you can also see it from her point of view because he's really making an effort. He's not just doing a flash mob. He's really trying to find something about something that will make her feel good about herself. And it's just that inability to see it from both sides, from both of them.
From the glasses on the left. Right. But the glass is also on the right.
Grania, have you started using that every time you and like Mehl have a disagreement? Like, Mehl, what's happening here? Is the glass is on the right for me, but it's on the left for you? And he just storms out of the flat each time.
Chucks the water against the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the fucking glass now?
So after this 40th birthday party, this is the big schism in their relationship.
Yeah.
So they break up for 2 years. During that time, Will said that he read 50 books on relationships.
Oh my God.
Jada starts doing ayahuasca on a basically like a monthly schedule.
Oh my God.
She starts doing a lot of ayahuasca.
Okay, I'm into Jada again.
Yeah, I know.
that is a great way to deal with a breakup. Just get high, baby.
So she starts having all these spiritual breakthroughs thanks to her ayahuasca schedule. During this
schedule. Only she would schedule ayahuasca.
You have to. It takes a long time, man. You can't get anything else done.
It's true, yeah. It is just that.
during this time, there's also a lot of like rumors about the state of the relationship. In 2013, Jada has to make a statement on Facebook denying rumors that they've split.
Is this when he has the thing with Margot Robbie?
Well, in 2015, so that's 2 years later, rumors about him having an affair with Margot Robbie.
The famous photo booth pictures, look them up, they're great.
And then in that same year, Will then had to issue a statement on Facebook saying, we're together, we're not splitting up. So here, now, the timelines slightly diverge, because in our timeline, they are still together. However, we have since learned the following year in 2016, they split up.
Was it around then? Did you find, I remember Will Smith always saying in interviews, he said, oh, we have a relationship where if I wanted to shag someone else, I would just talk to Jada about that. And then that got spun by the media as him admitting they have an open relationship. And then he had to correct that and say, no, we don't. I'm just saying if we did, we're at a place where we could talk about that. But now that we know the truth, it's like, no, that was what was happening. It's like he was almost trying to tell people it's split up by saying we're doing what we want. Do you remember finding this in any of your research?
I more found loads of, it felt like quite smug therapy speak. I always got the impression that they think they're the first people to have ever gotten married, where they would say things
that
like...
so true, Grania. I think you're totally right.
They would say, the thing is, like, we've got a very mature attitude that if we want to develop relationships, it's about trust and loyalty. And if your trust and loyalty is strong, you're happy for people to experience connections.
And then you think, fucking hell, Margot Robbie. What chance have you got to compete against her?
Exactly. Young Margot Robbie as well.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
So around this time, 2016, we didn't know it at the time, they had split. So Jada had an entanglement with a friend of her son, August Alsina. He had come into their house because he wasn't well. He was suffering from a lot of medical problems. He was suffering from addiction issues. She looked after them, and then their connection became romantic.
Can we just unpick this? Like, the addiction.
There's so... I know.
So the addiction. Her dad was a huge addict. Her mum was an addict. You know, the age of the dad, you know, when he comes in is a really interesting point. I mean, you know, I am not Philippa Perry. I am not a therapist. But, like, you know, it seems pretty basic to me that the only way she feels like she can cure this young man of his terrible ills is to shag him. I mean, it's just weird. It's
really weird. And I do have to say, I don't want to be like that person. Like, what if it was a guy? But what if it was a guy? Because if it was Will and a young girl in her early 20s who's a drug addict, this is how the media would play this, came to his house, stayed there, and then he ended up like having an affair with her. That would be seen as so predatory.
Yeah.
And so him taking advantage of a power position, not only of him being the sober person in that pairing, but also to him being Will Smith, or in this case, her being Jada Pinkett Smith, sorry. And just the power position she has there, not to mention her age and her sobriety. It's just, it is wild that just became about, oh, she cheated on Will, and not about how unhealthy, I think we could say, that pairing was. I don't think that was the way you should deal with someone coming to your house because they have addiction problems, have nowhere else to go, you know? That's really wild.
In the book, she calls him the entanglee. So that means that she's the entangler, like he's passive.
Yeah, it's really, that's crazy, does she? That's nuts. That's nuts. I'm not into it. I'm back to being Team Will again.
No, I don't know.
That was in 2016 when they got together. They walked the red carpet at the BET Awards in 2017. So they were quite flagrant about their relationship. Then in 2018, Will and Jada sit down at the red table to talk about their relationship and how much they love each other. Willow is there. Jada's mother is there. And in hindsight, they had split up for 2 years at this stage.
And doing it in front of your kid and your mother-in-law is just insane to me. Can you imagine sat with your parents while they discussed their relationship and you as their kid know they've split up? Obviously, she had to have known. But they're pretending it's just, I'd love to know what Willow and Jada think about all of this.
Yeah, it's so weird because also, like, A, to sit while your parents discuss their relationship in front of you is
full
mortifying.
Stop is crazy.
Full stop, mortifying. And to make it public, what? I mean, there's so many awful things within that, that it's just, there's such a kind of element of brand management all the way through this, that on both sides, not just Jada, on Will's side as well, that I think it's really, that's why he seems inauthentic, or that's why she seems weird as well, because you're like, you just seem to be doing a lot of this to manage a kind of front. And even when you say you're being authentic, you're not.
But that's what made that whole red table talk. That's what made, I think, her book coming out. Everything about her is, our reactions to it are because she's had this brand of this red table talk and everyone coming on and speak your truth and be honest and open. No one asked you, by the way. You gave this information out that you were in a happy couple for no reason. No one asked you. And now you're saying, never mind, we weren't actually. Like, you've made this situation for yourself. So if everyone thinks you're a liar now, that's on you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very odd.
So in 2019, Alcina, the guy, she had the entanglement, releases a music video that reveals their relationship. Then he says that Will knew about their relationship and gave him his blessing. Then in 2020, Jada takes herself to the red table. So this is when she sits down with Will to talk about the relationship. So apparently what she wanted was to go on and just talk about what had happened. And then Will was like, no, I want to go on. You shouldn't have to do this on your own. And the plan had been for them to say, look, we separated in 2016. We both were seeing other people. So that was her intention going into it. But then she says that once the camera started rolling, Will changed it to make it look like she was the only person who'd been seeing other people. And she said she found that really annoying. Really annoying.
Yeah, annoying. Well, I was annoyed, so I thought, never mind then. Okay.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, it's such a weird segment, isn't it? I mean, that bit, that particular bit, I think that crystallizes everything that everybody thinks about their relationship, whether or not that's true. That red table is what we think about their relationship, isn't it? We think that she's really tough. She had an affair. She's completely controlled. And he's about to cry at any point. That's what we think.
And
about
also,
them.
It wasn't live. She could have just pressed pause on the camera in their house and said, wait a minute, I thought we were going to say that we broke up. Should we start again? Like, there's no reason she couldn't re-record this. Do it the next day.
So then March 2022, I mean, we literally, all we can say is the slap at the Oscars. There you go, the slap at the Oscars. That's part of the montage. And then at the release of her book, this autumn, October 2023, Jada Pinkett Smith in the ultimate M. Night Shyamalan twist. She revealed to the public they'd been split up the entire time.
And now here we are.
So, Miranda, we have to ask you, why do you think they couldn't make it work?
I don't think it's very good for either of them. I mean, their relationship is not very good. But they've got lovely kids. They've made lots of money. They're, they're still pretty polite about each other. I mean, she can be a bit, she is a bit kind of sideswipey. She's very sideswipey, actually, about many, many people. She's a bit, what do they call it? Not damning with faint praise. It's like negging people. She's just very neggy. And so she'll kind of say, you know, he is very, you know, charismatic and he likes lots of people. But, you know, basically, that's rubbish. So she's just, she's very neggy about him. So I don't think that they are very good together. But I do think that we quite like it when they're together, generally the world. So I kind of think maybe it's better as they are, where they keep saying, well, we're split up, but, you know, for big occasions, we'll all be together, you know, which is why she was there at the Oscars. I think the authenticity thing is really funny, isn't it? Because we can forgive kind of everybody everything if we think they're not lying.
Yeah.
We think they're lying. We just don't like them. And that's... It's a really fundamental, difficult...
It's a real human thing.
Yeah, we just don't like it. So the thing that you feel about Will Smith, which is that, why is he always cheerful? Why is he all this? Especially now you know that there's lots of different elements. Actually, what you're disliking about him is the fact that you don't believe him anymore. Whereas you did believe him when he was younger and he seemed more natural. Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't think they should stay together because I just think it'd be really fun to see both of them. I'd love to see them being single. I'd love to see Will Smith as a single man in Hollywood as Will Smith dating. Like, what would that even look like? Like, who would he be dating? The kind of person I'd just be fascinated by that. Whereas I think if in 20 years' time, they're still together, but we all know they're not actually together anymore. I'm sort of like, well, what are you guys, what is this for? Why are you still together? Is this the word divorce? I don't understand. The kids are older. Like we all know. So what's the taxes? Like, what are we doing this for?
You know what? They were staying together for the sake of the kids. And we were the kids.
Oh,
we were the kids.
There you go.
So now we get to the second big question. You know, at every split, you know, we like to think it's like it doesn't matter. Both of them are, you know, really good places.
They can thrive.
Nonsense. Every split, there is a winner and the loser. So in the split between Jada and Will, who thrived and who simply survived?
So, I mean, if you read her book, obviously, you would think that she is the thriver. But I think generally people are like, Will, mate.
People want him to leave her so bad.
They want him. I mean, you know, it's really interesting. I have constant conversations with my son. I don't know why. We're quite obsessed with Will and Jada. He loves Jaden Smith. He really, really loves. He loves his music. He loves him and everything. And he's just constantly sending me things of like, God, she's awful. Look at this, you know. And there's a big part of me that I don't want that, you know. Like, I want the woman to be the hero in this situation. And she really tries to be nice. But in the end, you want Will Smith to be happy. One wants Will Smith to be happy.
Yeah.
So in the end, he wins because you want him to be happy. And it doesn't seem like he's unhappy. He's happy in that relationship. So you want him to go away and fly his wings and be Will Smith again.
Yeah.
That's what you want. So he's
he wins by being likable. Sorry, guys. He's just more likable.
He's the Fresh Prince.
He's the Fresh Prince. And you know, the only thing he ever did wrong, in inverted commas, is slap Chris Rock.
Will Smith and Taylor Swift are next big couple. I'm putting it out there.
Well, that would be incredible.
Oh my god,
please put that into the universe. You can get his music career popping again. Let's do it.
Miranda, we have one more question before we release you into the wild.
We do. The last question we ask all our guests this, Miranda. So if you're a listener of the podcast, you know what's coming. There is a wonderful woman out there that we think has never found someone to match her intellect, talent, amazingness as a person. So we're asking you, Miranda Sawyer, to put your thinking cap on and think of someone that can be with the one, the only, Cher.
Okay. So I forgot to think about this, although I knew it was coming.
Good. We went authentic. Yeah, You're not like Will Smith. You don't overprepare.
My authentic reaction to Cher is I definitely think someone younger, mm-hmm. although she might be good with a woman, I think with a bloke, I think she'd be happier. So
she's a male energy.
Yeah. Jaden Smith.
Oh, nice!
You know it would work.
Bring Cher to the red table. Yeah. She'd sort them out like that. Oh my God, you guys split up already.
But Jaden Smith will be good. He's like, he's very pretty. He's really cute.
Yeah.
He's good with women. He's good with music. They could do music together. I think she'd have a real laugh with him.
Yeah.
Can we just say, if Will and Jada did nothing else, they made two of the most beautiful people I've ever seen. Like Willow and Jaden are fucking gorgeous. And yeah, Cher'd be a lucky woman to get with Jaden. Do it.
And what
that entanglement.
Then. And what a mother-in-law to have.
I know. They could do a Vegas show together and just call it Entanglement.
Oh, yes, this is it. We've done it.
That'd be so much. Oh, great choice. Thank you so much, Miranda.
Thank you so much.
This is so fun. I feel like I could carry on talking about this couple like for about 3 days.
We could do a 3-hour podcast on just the slap, like you say.
Yeah, definitely.
Miranda, where can our listeners find out more about the work that you're doing?
Oh, I think it sounds
like you're doing well.
Yeah, but you worked for.
Yeah, I'm like, my charity work, you mean?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
I host a podcast called Paper Cuts, which is on every day. I do Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays mostly.
Oh, do you? Who do you host that with, Miranda?
Well, you know who's on it quite a lot? Is our grinder. And she's amazing. So why don't you listen to me on that? That's always fun. And then I'm in The Observer quite a lot and I host various events. But I always forget to promote
them. Oh, look at
them.
You. I'm in The Observer a lot. I host events.
But
whatever,
I forget to promote them.
So yes, buy The Observer.
It's fun.
And listen to Paper Cuts. If you want topical news with Barbara Streisand references shoehorned in wherever possible.
Yeah, quite. Exactly.
As always.
Mm. Thank you so much, Miranda.
Oh, thank you. It was so fun. I loved it.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. The Way They Were.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.